call that's on his life and the passion that's in his heart. We ask, Lord, that you would use him as a vessel today to speak to us, to encourage us, to bring forth your word, and challenge us to a deeper walk with you. We thank you for our brother. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Christmas is the best birthday party every year, isn't it? It's the best Christmas party. You know, birthdays are funny. They're kind of funny things. Some are good, some are not. We can kind of remember some of our birthdays being okay, and then there's times when people forget our birthdays and that shouldn't forget your birthdays, and it's kind of a funny emotional road for us, birthdays. 5 years ago, I turned 50, and we decided to have a celebration rather than surprise me, because I don't think you should surprise people over 50, you know, so we decided to go ahead and have a party. And we headed out to camp, and my favorite colors are different kinds of blues and silver and gray. So that was the color of the balloons and the tablecloths and everything. But the Lord had a plan in that, too. Betty Gear made me a prayer shawl, and it had Nancy gave her my favorite scriptures, and it was all in blues and silver and glitter and silver, and it was that whole theme. And then Judy Lynn O'Neill, who's an artist, and also the Lord gave her... in a dream, he gave her the design of a flag for me. He gave her the colors, blues, silvers, all these different colors. And he had a name for it, scriptures, and everything. And so even down to the detail of painting the stick blue. And so she went ahead and gave that to me also for my birthday. So that was just one of those things that I thought I had a theme, but the Lord really had that theme as well. And when Nancy turned 50, we thought, how are we going to top this? And when kids were little, remember those old video players that was like carrying a suitcase on your shoulder? Yeah, we had one of those. My kids were very thankful that in their teenage years it finally died. And then for several years we didn't have any filming, but when Nancy turned 50, we sent her on a treasure hunt with a camera. And throughout the course of the day, she met with the people that were important in her life throughout the course of the day. And then in the evening, it culminated in a dinner with her family. So that was something that we did when she turned 50. So it's one of those things where birthdays are good, and sometimes it just depends. And then and the funny things about gifts, sometimes when people give you gifts around Christmas, it's like, yeah, thanks. That's great. What is that? So you give the courteous response, you know, and then in your mind you're thinking, boy, I can't wait to re-gift that thing. But there's times when the magnitude of a gift that takes your breath away. You know, when you get a gift that you don't feel you deserve, you didn't see it coming, and the enormity of it really takes your breath away. That's Jesus. That's the gift that we have in Jesus. The enormity of the gift we have in Jesus, I don't think we can fully comprehend it till we're around that throne, worshiping and exalting him day and night, night and day for eternity. I think that's when it'll really kick in, the magnitude of the gift that we have in him. And it's the greatest gift that we could ever possibly receive. And that's one gift that we won't re-gift, right? It's the gift of Jesus. Today I want us to look at the scriptures that highlight the Christmas story and all the players in it. When we look at all the different players and all the different aspects in the scriptures of the Christmas story, one of the things it is that they had a unique partnership with God. They had a yes in their hearts to the things that he was asking of them, and that yes was the vehicle for the partnership with God. And as we look at their partnership with God, I want us to reflect on our partnership with God. What has God called you to? What is the calling on your life? What are the things, the tasks that he's asked you to do? Are you walking in the fullness of the gifts and talents and abilities that the Lord has given to you? What are you walking in? What are you doing with the gifts that he's given to you? And sometimes partnership with the Lord can be really difficult. So let's look at the definition of partnership. Two or more persons engaged in a common activity to achieve a common goal. They share in all the victories as well as all the risks. Each acts like an agent for the other partner, having to represent the other at times. Partners are invested in the outcome. You know, there's times when in our partnership with the Lord, we have to represent the Lord. And there's times when the Lord fights for us. There's times when we want to fight for ourselves, but the Lord will fight for us. So it's an amazing partnership that we have with the Lord. But here's the thing with the partnership with God. It'll cost you everything. It'll cost you everything, right? Amen. It'll require dying to self. Dying to self. And the thing about dying to self, it's a slow death. Sometimes we wish we can just get that thing over, you know. Let's just get that flesh, just get that thing over with right now. But each time the Lord crucifies a little bit of our flesh, we learn more about ourselves and more about his heart, don't we? So it's a process, and the Lord likes it that way. The other thing that has to die is selfish ambition. When we partner with God, that thing goes right out the window, our selfish ambition. And a partnership with God requires a great trust, a great faith, and it requires extreme obedience. And I say extreme obedience because delayed obedience is still disobedience, and partial obedience is still disobedience. A radical, radical obedience is what is required when we partner with God. See, when we partner with God, he's looking for a yes. Our yes seals the deal in the partnership with God. Yes is the language of divine partnership. It's not, all right, God, I'll do that. It's a yes, God, yes. It's a no hesitation, just jumping right in there, yes, God, I'll do it. I believe yes is the Lord's favorite word in the kingdom language. Yes, Lord. As we look at the Christmas scriptures, we'll see the yes in the hearts of various players. So what I want us to discover today is the principles of partnership with God. Looking at the Christmas story, there's principles in there. There's things that we can take away from their obedience. There's things that we can take away from the things that happened to them. And the most amazing thing is when we look at all this, it is such a supernatural experience. There's signs, there's wonders, there's miracles, all these things. You know, the Father God just laid it all out there. He didn't hold back in any of this. So when you look at the scriptures, it is just miracles, signs, and wonders. The supernatural realm made real. So let's look at the principle number one. It's nothing is impossible with God. So I'm in Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel answered her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So he goes on to tell her about Elizabeth. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." So nothing is impossible with God. That's our first principle. When we partner with God, nothing is impossible. And sometimes we put out fleeces. Sometimes we put out all kinds of things. We put God in a box and we struggle with faith. We struggle with trusting God. We struggle with stuff. But yet, nothing is impossible with God. So we need to look at that and say, you know, that's the basis for all the rest of the principles to be built upon, that nothing is impossible with God. Because if you look at the rest of the story, nothing is impossible with him. So why are there times when we question God? You know, I don't know if I'm supposed to do this, or I don't know if I'm supposed to do that, or God's supposed to provide this or that, and how am I going to do this? How? You know, we ask all those questions. But if we come first and say nothing is impossible with God, and say, "Okay, Lord, I'm coming to you, but first I'm going to declare, before I ask you anything, I'm going to declare that nothing is impossible with you. So now I'll present my request to you, Lord." After I built the foundation of saying nothing is impossible for him. And you know, and if you back up a little bit into the scriptures, you look at Zacharias' story. and with the father of John the Baptist. And it's amazing because he questioned the angel too. How can this be that Elizabeth is going to be? But I think there was a little bit difference in the way that he questioned it. Mary questioned from a place of belief. Zacharias questioned from a place of unbelief because he was made mute. He figured the whole 9 months and then 8 days in, he couldn't speak. But yet, when he was able to, the angel Gabriel, then the whole thing, he was mute. Then the day of circumcision, he was able to speak. And what does he do? He's filled with the Holy Spirit and he prophesies. That's the way to come back. To come back, to open his mouth, to be able to declare it. Because they're asking, what's his name? And there was no one, John, in his family. So he declares his name to be John. And then goes on to say the whole thing and prophesy and fill with the Holy Spirit. What are you believing God for this Christmas? What are you believing him for? What are you asking for? What are the miracles in your life that you're contending for? Nothing is impossible with him. Everything else is built upon that. So believe God for big things this year, because he's a big God. And he reveals himself to you in doing the miraculous things in your life. Don't settle for less than that. The second principle, complete surrender and abandonment. In the same passage in Luke 1:38, when Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be unto me according to your word." In the New American Standard, it says, it referred to the maidservant as, she said, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord." That puts a whole different twist on it. The bond slave of the Lord. There was no hesitation in Mary. It was complete obedience. She wasn't worried about the consequences, which were really huge. She could have been stoned and killed and all these things. She didn't say to the angel, she didn't give the list of the known consequences that she knew was going to happen to her if she went forth with this. It was an amazing culture for a woman in her position to be pregnant, not by the guy that you're betrothed to. It would have been a bad situation for her, and she knew that. So she didn't ask the Lord, "Well, you know, what do you think about this? Well, what are you going to do about that?" She just said, "Be it so ever unto me." The handmaiden of the Lord. She could have been made a public example, but she had a yes in her heart. She never looked back. We never hear or read of her regret or of her worry. We never read of it. She knew that the Lord had done this to her, and she was well with it, and she was going to move forward and realize that the Lord was going to take care of her. And, you know, and when we read about all that she went through on the donkey when they went to the census, all right, how many of, you know, women would love to say, "Well, sign me up to ride on a donkey in my 9th month, you know?" But yet, she knew that she was just going to go along with the Lord. She was in it. She put all her cards in. She was all the way in. She said, "I'm in this, Lord." And I really admire her obedience, because I wish I could have that obedience. I wish I could say that there's times the Lord asking me to do something, and I'm saying, "I'm all in, God." No, I question, "Are you sure, God? What if this happens? Well, what if that happens? What if this happens, and what are you going to do here?" We present all these scenarios of other possibilities to the God, to the Lord, and all he's asking us is, "Will you say yes? Will you say yes? Will you be my partner in this, what I'm asking you to do?" The next principle, exalting the Lord in declaration. This is in Luke 1:38 also. And then, that's in 1:46. I'm going to read that. It says, the song of Mary in Luke 1:46 on. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has rewarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him. From generation to generation he has shown strength with his arm." And it goes on, you know, and so she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has done mighty and great things for me." He has done great things for me. This is when she went to visit Elizabeth, and she makes this declaration. So we must posture ourselves in declaration and exaltation. No self-pity, no earthly fear, not trying to figure it out. But Mary positioned herself in praise, and all the focus was on the Lord. And we can take away from that and realize that no matter what we're facing, no matter the consequences, no matter the circumstances that we're facing, to come into that place that says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has done great things for me. I think sometimes we as Christians, we have a memory problem. And we forget our God is, we forget because we put God, he's only as big as our current need. Sometimes we forget all the great things he's done for us. Many in this room have been healed. God has provided finances. He's provided amazing things for us. And sometimes we need to remember that. We need to remember that, he is a great God and he has done great things for us. Amen. And so here's Mary going to visit Elizabeth. And, you know, she's pregnant. She's older. And so they're having this party. And they're just rejoicing in the Lord to seeing. You know, I wonder what their conversations were like later, you know, when down the road, when Jesus and John came into their ministries. But my soul magnifies the Lord. So no matter what we're facing, let us declare it. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He has done great things for me. He is mighty. To position ourselves in praise no matter the circumstances. You know, and at times Christmas can be a very difficult time because of loss and other things and just circumstances. Sometimes I'm so glad for the joy song today. Because there are times people really needed to declare that today. Because there are people in this room going through some very difficult circumstances. This is the most difficult Christmas some have ever faced that are in this room. And so to find that place of joy and to be able to make those declarations to the Lord, to make those declarations that he has done great things for me, and to rejoice in the Lord, and to position ourselves in a place of praise, no matter what's going on. That takes a discipline. It takes a hard place to push through your grief, to push through the stuff that you're facing, to get into that place to praise the Lord. But it is the greatest, one of the greatest ways that we can show our partnership with God. That says, no matter what we're facing, God, I will proclaim your name. I will praise your name. Amen? Amen. So the... Amen. The next principle is to pay attention to dreams from the Lord. Let's see, I'm going to read in Matthew, book of Matthew, going backwards a little bit now, chapter 1, starting at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, to take you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. He did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. You know, it goes on, so that's verse 120. In Matthew 2, the angel of the Lord warns Joseph to flee with his family to escape from Herod. And then in Matthew 2 at 19, also the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream and told them to take the child and the mother to the land of Israel. And then in Matthew 2, 23, he was warned by God in a dream to avoid Archelaus, the son of Herod, and go to Nazareth and settle in the Galilee region. So four times in a short passage, four different dreams, Joseph is warned. And not once does he say, Roy, can I get an interpretation of that dream? You know, not once did he go to anybody for an interpretation. He didn't hesitate. It said he did what the Lord commanded him to do in the dream. He didn't hesitate at all. And, you know, and that was a supernatural thing, and that settled it for him. And it settled it for him. And then also, in Matthew 2, the wise men were divinely warned in a dream not to return to Herod. And that made Herod so mad. He was really upset. But so here's this dream activity in this story, in the Christmas story. And I think it's there for a reason and a purpose. I mean, Joseph didn't hesitate. And I think sometimes in our own life, we we put too little stock in a dream sometimes, and sometimes we put too much stock into it. And sometimes we really need to pay attention to specific dreams. Roy did an amazing job over the last several months during the prophetic night teaching on dreams. And I think he went a couple times longer because there was such a response to it. People wanted to know. There was a lot of the different, he used examples, and there was a lot of the symbolism in dreams. And I think it's an amazing thing to be able to traffic in the dreams. Dreams are an expression of the language of the Lord. They are his creation. They're his design. And so we need not be afraid of them, but at times we need to really press into them and really make them a matter of prayer. The other day, a friend of mine came and he had a dream the night before. He said, can we just pray about this? And while we were praying about it, right in that moment, the Lord gave us revelation of what a part of the dream was about. And so we just celebrated and prayed right into that thing. And so I think that there's times when a part of us partnering with the Lord is paying attention to the dreams. Because if he spoke to Joseph and they were so profound then, why is he not speaking to us now? He uses dreams in a powerful way. And there's all variations. We just need discernment and to know what we do with those. I mentioned earlier the flag that Judy Lynn made me. And I brought it for a reason and a purpose. Because the Lord cared about me enough. A little thing like a flag. But he gave a dream to an artisan. Cloth in the middle that she dyed two different colors, and he gave that design to her, all the different things, and it has to do with like a water flow. And he gave her a name of it, a scripture to go with it, months before my birthday. And then on my birthday, she presents this to me. And I'm thinking to myself, when I put it in my hand, this is a tangible, physical evidence of somebody obeying a dream. For me, a little thing like a flag, but this is the manifestation in the natural of a dream given. So it's a simple thing like a flag, but yet, what are the manifestations and the things that the Lord wants in your life from a dream? I love it, and I'm thankful she obeyed the Lord, because it's a cool design, and I've never seen another flag like it. So it's a beautiful thing. But there are the manifestations of dreams that the Lord has for us in this room, that he wants us to speak into each other's lives and to be able to. There's warning dreams, and there's amazing dreams of calling and destiny and provision and all these things. So all that to say, just need to pay attention a little bit more to our dreams and really document them. So the next principle, moving right along, number 5, God sends signs. I'm going to be in Luke 2, the shepherd story. Luke 2, starting at verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy. Joy, right? Which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace, goodwill toward men. And it goes on that they went and they found him. But the shepherds said yes. You know, they were afraid. This whole scene, it freaked them out. I mean, all the angels singing and all this stuff that happened to them in that moment. But yet, we never hear them form a committee to see if they should go. They didn't take a vote. They just went. They went for it. And it was a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. So what do you pray for a lot? Do you pray for signs and wonders? This was a sign, and it was a wonder. And Isaiah 7:14 also said, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. You know, sometimes our signs have first names. Because the thing with our partnership with God is he will most generally use other people in our lives. And I am so grateful for my wife and my family and so many other people that the Lord has used in the partnership of God in my life, because I couldn't fulfill the calling and destiny on my life if it wasn't for people praying, putting their arms around me, and sometimes getting us through those difficult seasons. Nothing like the body of Christ. And so there's very few that the Lord will use as an isolated story to move forward. But it's one of those things that he will send signs. So the Lord likes to use other people in partnership. And so I think of the shepherds, and I think of all the, you know, and then when they show up on the scene and they see that he's there and they see a fulfillment. You know, and look at your own history. What are some of the signs that God has given you in your life? What are some of the things that happened in your time of your journey that the Lord has given you a sign for something to strengthen you? Most of the time, it isn't just a sign because it's a cool thing. If the Lord's going to use a sign in your life, it's to affirm you, it's to edify, it's to encourage you. And a lot of times, he will send signs when we are in the leanest times, when we are barely hanging on. And I'm just going to share one. There was a time when I was pastoring in his presence fellowship, and we were 3 years into being a church at a union hall where we said we were going to do 3 months. And we always joke about we had the three right. So, but we had to set up and tear down every week. And those of you who have done that, that's a long journey. And I had a faithful group of guys doing that, and my son for a while. And after a while, I released him from doing that. But, you know, there's times when I would fall and rip my pants, and we're the trailer, and the union hall always was heavy smokers. And there was one time where they had a smoker, and we were picking up beer cans and sausage off the floor before our church service. Man, it's going to be a great service today. So we were in this place, and we were getting weary. The crew I had, Brian Wonderly and Bill Thompson, they were weary. They were really weary. And so the three of us were doing it and coming, setting up. I had khakis on that day, and I fell and I ripped my knee and scraped my elbow, fell out of the trailer. It's going to be a good day in the house of the Lord. And that morning, the Lord spoke to me and told me to have paperback Bibles, to have Bibles available. So I went ahead and put a bunch of Bibles in the back table. And I was doing all that. They're getting the sound system ready and everything, and we're doing that. And this lady walks in, just this little, petite little gal. And she walks in, and she asks if is this a church? I said, it is on Sunday. And she says, oh, great, do you have a phone I can use? I need to call the homeless shelter. And this is my faith. And I'm thinking, oh, great, she's going to come out. I don't have the checkbook. She's going to ask for money and all this stuff. And I'm just in this bad place. And she comes out, and she says, do you have a Bible I can have? I'm thinking, cha-ching, I heard the Lord, you know. I got some Bibles in the back, so I gave her this Bible. And she clutches it to her chest and says, I love the Word of God. And when she said it, it was like it reverberated through my body. It wasn't like a voice of a natural realm. And I just was like, had to stagger for a minute. And she walked out. And there's double doors, and it's about 50 feet to the side. So I got out the double doors, and I couldn't see her anywhere. You know, and we had to... That happened another time, and there was a couple other times. So I know that I've had three angel visitations of a person in the natural, angel taking on natural form. I know I have three for sure. And that was the first one. And I never forgot that. But that was the sign. We were weary. We were tired. We said, Lord, we just can't keep doing this. And so that was a sign. And one of the gals stood up and gave a testimony. She said, so the moral of the story is, if you want an angel visitation, you need to get up early and come and help Pastor Stan set up. So, but you know, that was a sign in my own life. And you know what? The next 6 months were an amazing 6 months. We found energy. We were, the Lord supernaturally gave provision, and all these amazing things happened from that point on. But that was a sign that we will always look back to and say things changed when that person showed up. And it was a sign for us. The next one is trust in God's promises and prophetic statements to you. So down in Luke 2, starting at verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Christ, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the faces of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things and were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And then the next part is about Anna, who's come, and she was fasting and praying, a widow of 84 years. And what an amazing collision of people at that time, that they come, And here's this woman, Anna, who's been fasting and praying for years. Here's Simeon, led by the Spirit there. What a divine setup. What a prophetic setup that the Lord had done there. And part of the yes in your heart to the Lord is to embrace the prophetic journey and the prophetic activity that's around your life. And think about the prophetic things that people have spoken into your life. Many in this house have gotten prophetic words. I love the prophetic ministry. But we need to really sometimes really be very serious about that and look back at those things and not just put it on the shelf and bring it down and really look at the prophetic activity in our lives. Because that was a collision that day. And part of the prophetic activity in our lives is the Lord encouraging us along the journey. So to be able to do that. And so we need to pray into those words. And, you know, we are a prophetic culture. And the closer we walk in the end times, the closer that stuff is stirring up even more. Because it's meant to encourage and put things on the radar and see with our hearts to be able to look at that. And to be able to flow in all the prophetic activity that's around us. It's an absolute amazing thing. I love the prophetic ministry, to be able to see people come in just weary and tired and leave encouraged, because we get to see on the prophetic team how God sees his people and how he views their calling and destiny, and he knows the season they're in. He knows the weariness of their hearts. It's just, it's absolutely amazing the things that the Lord is doing in our lives, but he wants us to walk in that, to be encouraged in it, and it's part of his sign to us, and it's part of his partnering with us is the prophetic activity in our lives. Next one is principle 7, God with us, living out the yes in your hearts. In Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And I love the passage in Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government 12:12:12. I was declaring that this verse all day long on 12:12:12. And the government, because 12 is a number of government, the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's who he is. And the Lord's titles help us walk out our yes in our hearts. They absolutely do. Because there's some days where you're having a really bad day. Say, Lord, I need your name Wonderful today. You need to turn this day around, and I'm going to declare that you are a wonderful God today. You are wonderful. And there's some days we can't figure things out. We say Counselor. When we need a breakthrough, we say Mighty God. When we need to persevere, we say Everlasting Father. When we need peace, we say Prince of Peace. Bring it, Lord. Bring it. Where's Dave and Liz at? I'm going to wind this down, and Dave and Liz are going to play a song for us. It means a lot to me this particular Christmas, first Christmas with both mine and Nancy's dad's celebrating Christmas with Jesus. And it's kind of a weird time, and our son's not able to come home. So I was in this kind of place of pressing in. And my sister Jan in Florida sent me this CD. It was Chris Tomlin's Christmas worship CD. And I tell you, that really turned things around for me. It really brought me out of a funk. It brought me to the right perspective. It really transition my heart to really persevere and praise the Lord. And this song that they're going to sing is one I've only had the CD about a week and a half, and I probably played it 200 times already. But it's just that declaration. It's that when Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord, for he has done great things for me. You know, and that's the Lord, all these titles that are the Lord. There's so many more of who he is, and that's who he is to us, and that's our partnership with him. So what are you in partnership with the Lord right now? What are you doing? What have you said yes to the Lord in? And what condition is your yes in? Because as a pastor, I run into people, and it grieves me, but they disqualify themselves because of choices they've made, things that have happened to them at times, and unforeseen circumstances. And they lay the yes down. They lay their gifts down, and they say, I'm disqualified. I can't walk out this yes. The greatest gift that you can give Jesus for his birthday is to pick that yes back up, dust yourself off, and say, Lord, I got that yes again. No matter the circumstances, no matter what's happened into my life, I say yes to you today, God. I say yes, and I'm going to walk this out. This isn't the path. Maybe sometimes you've gone the long way around, but the Lord knows your path, but he's looking for that yes. See, let's speak his love language to him today. That yes in your hearts. The Father wants to speak a word of love over you today. And that love word is Jesus. The ultimate expression of love is Jesus. And he wants to speak that over your life today. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. The greatest thing that's ever happened in any one of our lives is when Jesus came happening in our lives. It changes everything. Absolutely everything. He is Emmanuel, wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm going to pray for you real quick. And as they sing this song and they get to that chorus, examine your heart of where you're at in with the yes in your heart to the Lord. Where is your partnership at with the Lord today? And just give that yes to him again. And have the ability, give yourself permission to forgive yourself if you've gotten off. If you've gotten off, it just takes one word to get back on track. Yes. It just takes one word. Yes, Lord, I'll get back on track. I'm back with you, God. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to do those things that you've called me to do. Don't live in regret. This is not about regret. It's not about remorse. It's about the sovereign God can take all the circumstances in your life and steady you to walk out that yes in your hearts before him. And this is our declaration today. No matter what you're going through today, my soul magnifies the Lord. For he has done great things for me. And so even in the midst of this song, declare those things that he's done for you. He has done great things for you. Okay, guys.
My soul, magnifies the Lord. My soul, magnifies the Lord. He has done great things for me, great things for me. But my soul, Father, there's no
Declaration today, God. We remember that you have done great things for us, Lord. We thank you for the yes in our hearts, Lord. Father, rekindle that yes in our hearts today. Give us the resolve to partner with you no matter the cost, no matter the circumstances, to say yes, Lord, to all that you called us to. We thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us or forsake us, Lord, that you are God with us. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your strength, your power, your grace, for all the things that you do in our lives. God, I'm asking for each one here, Lord, that you give them strength to persevere through all the things they're facing this day, God. And Lord, those who are grieving, Lord, I ask that for a special blessing, that you would just meet them in that quiet place, God, that you would minister to them, Holy Spirit, as a comforter, as only you can, as only you can. So we celebrate you today, Lord. We celebrate you. We worship you in the beauty of your holiness, Jesus. We trust in you. We rest in you, Lord. So, Lord, I ask that as we go from this place, that your shalom would be over us, your grace would be around us, that we would walk in the fullness of the favor and the blessing that you have bestowed upon our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Merry Christmas to you. Blessings to you all.